The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Yeah, and when we know a lot of countries are arguing that maybe the dollar shouldn't be the reserve currency anymore, and China's obviously a player, and Russia and the whole economy. But we also see...
Euro.
Yeah, the euro, of course. We see digital currency now with the bitcoins and whatever. Likely there's going to be one or a couple of those that are around and become a standard long term, won't we? Whether it's a bitcoin or another one?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And it's kind of fascinating because on the one hand, gold and bitcoin are polar opposites, right? I mean, gold is the ultimate physical embodiment of value. It comes from the ground. Bitcoin doesn't exist in the real world, so they're totally opposite. But at the same time, I think there is an overlap in their appeal, in that they both appeal to people who are skeptical about the Federal Reserve and the role of central banks. They both have a fixed, limited supply. There's only so much Bitcoin in the world that can be, you know, quote, mined, unquote. And I do think that the blockchain technology that we see today with some of these cyber currencies will push us toward the future. Is it going to be the central currency for this country or any major country in my lifetime? I don't think so. But there's a lot of interesting experimentation going on, and sooner or later, adaptation will get to a point where it's, you know, much more common than it is today.
James, I got to tell you, that's brilliant. That is brilliant to put those in. That you're right. The overlap between Bitcoin and gold it comes down to a distrust or a lack of faith. Let's put it that way: a lack of faith or skepticism in the federal government, which is really pretty sad. Maybe that's a bigger issue with what we all face today.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that's one of the reasons why you have, you know, particularly within the Republican Party, a constituency for a return to a gold standard. It's another way of talking about, you know, limiting the power of government, limiting the size of government, limiting government spending. Whether it makes sense or not as an actual practical policy is one thing, but as a symbol and as a kind of statement, a shorthand for a particular kind of politics, it still has a lot of appeal.
Would you say it's a smart or important for every American to have some portion of their assets in gold, physical gold?
You know, that's an interesting question. My book is really a book of history. It's not a book about investment advice. But I think, you know, most financial advisors will tell you if you want to hold gold as part of a broader portfolio, it's a perfectly good sound investment. I think, you know, if it's more than 5 to 10% of your portfolio, you're probably doing something wrong. And like anything else, it involves, you know, market timing. You can make a lot of money with gold if you time it right. You can lose on it. If you bought it in 2011, 2012, and are holding it now, you're probably behind the curve. The other thing I would say is you have to be really careful when you invest in gold, because there's a lot of people out there who want to charge you hidden fees to store it. If you want to sell it, you have to pay an extra fee, and you can really see your returns get eaten up. So you really have to do your homework.
Well, I guess we're all pretty thankful that that 1964 documentary Goldfinger didn't, that plan didn't work out. We'd be in bad shape now. That would you know what's funny about that, too? With Goldfinger, one thing in your book, you talk about our fascination, or, you know, that really is part of it, too, right? The allure of gold and that character.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that my book explores is a program in the 1960s that the government secretly embarked upon, which they called internally Operation Goldfinger, which really the only way to describe it was a kind of secret 20th century alchemy quest of a program to find gold where it had never been found before. So they were literally like government scientists throughout the 1960s trying to find gold in plants, in seawater, in meteorites, in deer antlers, in animal brains, all like the most obscure sources. And the truth is there are trace amounts of gold in a lot of these things, but to extract gold from these substances would cost way more than $35 an ounce. So it was sort of meaningless given the system that we were operating under, but that's how desperate they got. I mean, that's what the monetary system looked like, this desperate search for gold, because it couldn't stand with the existing supply.
That's Chapter 7, Operation Goldfinger. You can read it in the book, One Nation Under Gold, How One Precious Metal Has Dominated the American Imagination for Four Centuries. James Ledbetter, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Good stuff.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.